Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is another wonderful day that the Lord has made, and He's doing great and mighty things in this day. And I thank the Lord for this time, this period of time that we live in. You know, in the last days, we're here. In the last days, God has to do a mighty work, and the work will be quick. It won't be a lingering work. I don't even know how visible it will be, but I do know that from a God's eye view, it's a mighty work. It's a mighty work. That's why it's so crucial for you to do whatever God is putting in your heart. And remember, the format is in the instruction. Sometimes people look for solace to do God's will in others. And what I mean by that is they look for approval and for a way, you know, the uncertain ways that they feel about endeavoring to do something they never done before. And they look to others. You can't do that. Now, with all of your concerns, when the Lord give you something to do, you're going to have concern. That's natural. And the Lord understands that. But the format is in the instruction. Do what the Lord say do. And as you act in your faith, He will supply you. He will send you whatever encouragement you need. He will do it. He will send people to you saying what you need at the time. And even the anointed people that you're around, you don't have to ask them anything. The Lord knew you would go to church that day or that Wednesday or whatever day that is, or when you'll be around your pastor or minister or whoever God want to use. He's going to activate their anointing. He's going to prompt them to say what you need. And if they follow through and say it, you'll be encouraged. They may not have a clue in their own mind, but they'll say what you need. Every time the Lord gave me an assignment, He would give me things in my spirit for the assignment, and He would address whatever concern I had as long as I was in faith about it. As long as I had that attitude of faith, He would give me what to say. I mean, he would give me what to do, and he would cause other people to say what He said. You know, I love my pastor, Jim McCann. The Lord was dealing with me heavily about the radio broadcast. And the first time I went to a church at Victory Christian Fellowship, and if you want to go to a good church home, I recommend Victory Christian Fellowship. It's in Adamsville, not 2440 Minor Parkway, Adamsville, Alabama. And the telephone number there is 205-791 Word, and I thank God for him. But the first Sunday I went there, me and my kids went, and the Lord gave me, He was dealing with me about the radio broadcast. He had just given me that dream. And in the course of Pastor's sermon, he gave a confirmation. You know, I had submitted to the Lord about that, about doing the radio broadcast. And he's in the course of his sermon, He encouraged me to do it. He didn't even know it, but He encouraged me to do it. And I after the service, I told him about it. And the very next Sunday, I'm on the radio. Been on the radio ever since then. And that was back in 2006. The Lord will use people. You don't have to go around asking questions and getting them to approve what you're doing. People can't do that because God put this in your heart. You're going to have to look to Him for the format. And the format is in the instruction. When the Lord called me to the ministry, He said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." I knew what He was talking about because Elder Lewis had told me the Lord's going to call you to the ministry. And everything that he said happened. You know, even the dream and everything, just like Elder Lewis said, it happened. And this was back in 1987. And I got up, went in the living room where I used to pray, and I just got on my knee and said, "Lord, now, what kind of minister am I? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to do it? What type of minister am I?" Because I knew of the fivefold ministry, but He wouldn't tell me that at that time. It wasn't time for Him to tell me that. And He said, "Follow me." Now, the, the fact that he said, you shall be a vessel of honor, I had no idea about how to be a vessel of honor. All I knew that I love God and I wanted to serve Him. I wanted to do whatever I could to be a blessing to people that I could be a blessing to. Hopefully they'll get saved. That's all I knew. And I was learning His word. But when He said, you shall be a vessel of honor, He said, behold, you are my child. I belong to Him. I was saved. I've chosen you. He chose me for a purpose. If He chooses you, it's to perform a purpose. And to do that, He anoints you. In fact, in 1986, He gave me three dreams. I was in three dangers, and I walked out of all of them. And I woke up and went to the kitchen to get some water or something. And He said, you're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed. And I heard Him say that till I got in the kitchen, and His voice faded away, saying that I was anointed. But He actually called me to the ministry in 87. So if I'm going to be a vessel of honor and He chose me, then I didn't know how to do it. So that suggested I had to follow Him. In fact, when He said, follow me, that became the foundation of my ministry. That's one of my purposes, is to share with how to follow God. The format's in the instruction. In other words, whatever God chooses you to do, and whatever blessing He chooses you to perform, He has to reveal to you what to do, how to do it, when to do it. He gives every minute, just like we shared on the last website broadcast, every minister has their own format. Every minister has its own rules. I'm not talking about the don't sin rules. No Christian should practice sin. Christian should decide to sin. I'm not talking about sin. That's understood. But what we do, how we do it, the way we do it, the purpose we're designed to fulfill, that's individual. That's unique to that minister. And every ministry, I got rules. There are things the Lord told me to do, and there are things He told me not to do. He said, people are going to want you to do this, but don't do that. I got my own rules, and there are reasons, and He taught me the reasons for it. And I don't share what all He told me about my ministry, because it's not necessary. People will try to pattern their life after mine, and you got to go to the Lord, and He'll give you your own rules. Isaiah had his own rules. Ezekiel had his own rules. Isaiah had his own rules, just like we shared last broadcast. Now, we talked about King Saul. Now, he was anointed to be a king. So you could be anointed to be a king. You can be Samson was anointed to be a judge. He was anointed to judge and fight and kill. Jeremiah was anointed to build up kingdoms and throw down kingdoms. And bring kingdoms down and build kingdoms up and restore and destroy. Isaiah was anointed to blind Israel when they went rogue, and then turn around and give light to those that wanted the heart of God. You know, in chapter 7, he said a tenth will come, will return, like the substance in an oak tree, and they will be eaten. In other words, they would turn back to the heart of God and be received. 10% of the Jews would do this. That meant 90% went rogue and died, and they were blinded. They were brought to a point that they couldn't see because they hated the truth of God. They hated the truth of God. They were blinded, but those that want to know Him purely, the Lord opens their eyes and saves them. 10%. You read it for yourself in Isaiah chapter 7. In chapter 8, he is talking about how those that wouldn't make up their mind to love God and follow Him, they would be driven to darkness. And all of these references, they also go to those that hate God. See, according to Revelation, the Laodicean church, they had a reputation for loving God. a reputation for being godly, just like King Saul. But when he got in rebellion, he still had the reputation of being a godly king. But he had turned, and he tried to murder David several times. He even admitted that he was wrong. You know, when people turn, they turn. The perception of them can stay the same, but they turn. The Laodicean church turns from God. And then Paul wrote about how the day of Christ wouldn't come till there'd be a great falling away first. So many people who have a reputation of loving God have fallen away, have turned from him, apostatized, turned their back on him. They hate him. I said they hate him just like the Jews did. And they would be treacherous. They are enemies to the faith. There are many tares among the wheat. And tares turn. Tares are going to go back to the world. See, some tares were sown among the wheat. Some tares are, tares are people of the wicked one. They can be anybody, anywhere. But in the parable, we focus on the tares that were sown among the wheat. The wheat are those who love God. Truly. See, the church is infiltrated right now. Some church members are not church members. Sorry. Some pastors are not pastors. Some prophets are not prophets. Some apostles are just not apostles. Some teachers are deadly. They are not teachers of God. But they have the reputation. They may have started out right. God may have even called them. But see, what I'm showing you in these broadcast, people can turn at any time, at their will. I asked the Lord, why is it that some people, they have, the odds are against them, everything's against them, and they live on the bottom of life. They come from the projects or worse. Their whole family structure has just been messed up. Both parents in jail, raised by people that don't love them. All kind of alcohol, drug problems. And somebody tell them the gospel, they get saved and they go forward in the Lord. And they don't let anything stop them. They rise above like a phoenix in the desert. They rise above all their obstacles and they love God from their heart. And then the Lord bless them to do a mighty work. And then you got an angel that was made in the image of God. I mean, they were made. They were holy, and they loved God. They had everything going for them. They were mighty. And then they turned around and rebelled against him and became an old demon. Now, I shared this in the last broadcast. I asked the Lord why I was waiting on Benny Hinn to come out at a Benny Hinn meeting upstate. And while we were waiting, I thought about that. That everything I just said, I said, why is it some people, they come from the bottom and they love God and they'll never turn? And then there were even angels and people that were well off and knew the Lord, and then they turned. I said, Lord, why is that? He said, everybody measures the way that they love according to their own will. And some preachers preach that once you're saved, you're always saved. No, if you have the power to become the children of God when you're saved, you're in the kingdom. You just like you walked in, you can also walk out if you want to. You can walk out of heaven if you really wanted to. You don't have to be there, even if you go. But most people that will go wouldn't do that and jump off in the hill. They wouldn't do that. But here, people do it all the time because their love has changed. See, when your love changes, everything changes. Let's say you're an honest man. You did good all your life and you became a politician or a banker or a judge. And then you start compromising and you become covetous. And you start taking bribes. Now, when that happens, you betray everybody you know. You know, a banker that's covetous will start stealing a little off the top and make it look good. And he changed. He betraying his employees. He's betraying the people that own the bank that he's working for. He's betraying the customers of the bank. He's betraying everybody. And what's the difference than what he did and what Lucifer did? Lucifer was already in charge of the earth before God made Adam. In fact, the solar system. He was in charge of this solar system. And the other planets are still void and desolate. The other nine. And one was destroyed. So he was over something already, but he wanted to ascend and do greater and be above others. And he wanted the worship that goes to God. That became more important than what he was anointed to do. And he rebelled against God and became Satan. You don't want to turn from God and become something that God didn't intend for you to be. Anybody that won't stay in the love of God, they do the same thing Lucifer did. Now, in the Laodicean church, he said he told them to repent and turn from their ways. He told them to repent. And with that, that's chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. I read it. Okay, Revelation chapter 3. Here it is. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And this is the Lord talking. He's not going to receive them. They are not going to heaven. They're not in his kingdom. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I want to explain something. When he said, buy me gold, see, the Lord rewards you for doing his work. That's the way you buy gold from God. You do his work and he will reward you with heavenly treasures. And the only way to do that is to walk in love and operate in love, to do it right. Have a pure heart toward the Lord. They thought they were rich. They had nothing. They had no inheritance in the kingdom of God. They were blind and naked. They were not righteous anymore. Their clothes were not white. If they had died, their clothes would not have been white, which represent the purity of God. They were blind. They didn't know that they were lost. They didn't know that they had went back. And they were miserable. They were wretched and miserable, poor. Even though they had a reputation of, They said, I am rich and increased with goods. The Lord said they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now their evaluation of themselves was wrong. Verse 18, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. How do you do that? Look to the Lord. Look to His word. Look to what He's saying. Hear Him out. Receive His word in your heart and act on it. Speak it and act on it. Receive it, speak it, and act on it. And you will see what He sees. Because the word will bring you to a position that you'll have a God's eye view. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's saying this so to keep them out of trouble. They are in trouble. Everybody that's lukewarm, they're in deadly trouble. And the Lord is saying this because He loves them. He sent preachers to warn them. And some preachers have become soothsayers. They soothe people, and the people are dead wrong. The people are in trouble of going to hell. They're in trouble, and the preachers are soothing them. See, all that kind of witchcraft need to stop. Speak the word correctly so people can make a choice and act on that word and live. Verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to enter him and will sup with him. I'll eat with him and he with me. And we'll have fellowship. Verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is Jesus Christ talking. This is Jesus Christ telling the truth. This is Jesus Christ trying to keep people in the kingdom before they finish walking out of it. And some of them had walked out. He's trying to get them back in. They need to get saved. They need to believe on Him and walk in and do what He said do. But when people start loving the world, they become treacherous and the enemy of the cross. They become the enemy of God and His purpose. According to 2 Peter 2 and according to Jude. And Peter wrote about these things. I mean, Paul wrote about how people would become treacherous. It's not good, folks. It's just not good. But people don't know that they can walk out of the kingdom. They, you know, it's not once saved, always saved, no matter what you do. If you don't operate according to God's will, according to the word, your own greed, your own lust, and your own pride has put you in another position of opposition. You can't have both. People that give in to pride or greed, or they try to please man like Saul did, he said the people. He put the people before he put God. I don't put anybody before I put God. I don't need your approval. I never felt like I needed people's approval. And then when there were times I thought I did, but I knew that I had to obey God. So whenever people wanted me to do something that God was telling me not to do, I always eventually went biblical. If I didn't do something God said because I was in the presence of somebody else that was opposite, I would, if I failed, I would go and ask the Lord, Lord, how did this happen? See, some preachers had gotten in forms of pride, and when I would go to them to give them the word that God had given, I felt the resistance to the Holy Spirit, to the work that God had given me to do. I'd speak it anyway, but there was a resistance that's not of God there. And I started watching, you know, I said, when I'm in your prayer, I never felt something like this before until I'm around certain people. Some people, they are set to do their own will and they're not going to budge, or they don't want to. But they don't know how deadly it is. And my job was to show them what God gave me to show them. And because I had a vow, you know, I explained it in the earlier broadcast on the website. But because I had that vow, I would make myself overcome whatever fear or concern I had and speak the word of God. And some words were received, some people repented, some people were receptive, some people, most of them just disregarded it. And even though they acknowledged that it was the word of God, but they did otherwise. I remember one pastor in Bessemer years ago, when his church was in Bessemer, the Lord sent me with a word to him. And I said, oh, here we go. I was kind of bracing myself because I had been down that road with many pastors. And then the Lord said, take him my word. He said this, he's not like those other pastors, you know, and he's going to receive your word. He's not like them. I said, okay. And I said, well, Lord, I don't have time to type it. I said, I wrote it, but it need to be typed. And the Lord said, go ahead and type it. I said, well, Lord, I'm late. I'll be late. He said, type it. You'll be on time. But the service starts at 7. I won't get there till almost 8. He said, type it. And so I typed the word, like he said. And I pick. I'm not a typer. I picked the word out, and I went to Bessemer and gave it to him. And when I got there, the whole church was having a business meeting. And so I got there just in time. He was finishing the business meeting, and then he preached a little while, and then they let out. And when I gave him the word, he didn't take it and ease it in his pocket like he didn't want nobody to see it. He read the word. Rejoiced, he gave it to his wife. She read it, she rejoiced, and then they put it on the board. I never seen a pastor do that before. Out of all the written words I've given, and this was a written word I gave him. And sometimes the Lord will have me do a spoken word, but you know, I didn't have to brace myself for him. I had another pastor, the Lord said, be bold. I said, no, he loves the word, he'll receive it. The Lord said, be bold. He'll receive it. I just kind of took it light. The Lord told me a third time, be bold. When I got there, there was resistance. And I stood before him to give him the word, and I went blank because of his resistance. And then I said the first part, and everything came back up. Some people are not receptive. They may not be receptive. They may or may not. That's not your problem. That's their problem. Your job is to do whatever God give you towards his people. Your job is to fulfill God's purpose. Now, Saul, went another route. And when Saul heard the women singing that David killed his thousands, Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000, he got fiercely jealous of David. He knew that David was the man that would one day be king. And he worked against David. Jonathan, Saul's son, he helped David. David was curious to know whether Saul was trying to kill him or not. And they made an agreement, and Jonathan found out. He said, he used the bow and arrow to talk to David. He said, if your father's trying to kill me, shoot the arrow far off and tell your servant to go way out and look for it. And if everything's all right, shoot it close and tell your servant to come. They gave a signal. If I don't have it perfect, you have to read those for yourself. But the signal was for David to flee. And David fled. And Jonathan knew that David was anointed to be king. And he took his robe off and gave it to him. Now that, my friend, is faith. He stuck with the plan and will of God. Sometimes whoever God put ahead of you, you have to respect that. It doesn't matter that somebody's ahead of you in ministry or seems to be. What matters is, you'll be more effective in the position that God put you in. Some ministers, The Lord may not lead you to be the overseeing pastor. He may have you helping the pastor or the teacher or the evangelist. Your ministry may be to help an evangelist that travels. I don't know what the Lord will call you to do, but I promise you this, He will prepare you for it. You are designed for it. He will train you for it, and it will be your first love. And it will be very effective. Many people will live because of what you're doing. Everybody can't be in the lead because they don't fit. God will put you where you fit, where you're going to be most effective. Now, think about it this way. We're in heaven. Everything has happened. And you see millions of people there because you obeyed the perfect will of God. Now, let's look at it another way. We're in heaven. Everything's done. Whatever you did is done. But you altered into the permissive will of God, and thousands of people are there instead of millions. Now, if you had stayed in your perfect position, millions would be there, and their lives would have been better off, and their children. But because you chose the permissive will, thousands instead of millions that you minister to. There's going to be millions anyway, but I'm talking about because of your ministry. See, everything in heaven's evaluated. If you follow His perfect will, it's going to be far better than what man would approve in the permissive will. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to teach and bless and encourage His people, you. And until next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.